Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. And today, wouldn't you know it, it's the first of many mock drafts to come. That's right. It's the combine done. It's in the books. The 40s have been run. The drills have been done by most people. And today, we're going to start putting some names on some teams. And to help me do it, of course, three of the best in the business. Pat Fitzmaurice, the Fantasy Shillelagh, is back. D-Bro, Derek Brown, the King of Bros, and my new best friend, the Minnesota Madman himself, Thor Nystrom. All four of us are going to sit here today and talk a little NFL draft, where these players could land and how that could impact the fantasy futures for you. And we're going to kick things off here right away. We're going to jump right into it because there was a lot to take in from the combine and now a lot of players to hand out. Derek Brown, you've been named the GM of the Chicago Bears for the day. They are on the clock with the number one. As of now, no trades yet. So who are they selecting?
They stay in this pick, Joe. I think they're going to go with Will Anderson. We've seen what the news lines, the storylines have been lately making the rounds by draft. I think it's going to be Will Anderson. And he's a plug and play, just a difference maker at edge. Fifth in hurries last year, and he led all FBS edges in sacks. So easy pick, and the Bears are happy.
All right, easy pick. They decide to stay at one. So after the Bears select Will Anderson from Alabama, the Houston Texans are up next. Thor Nystrom, you are the GM to make the pick. Certainly a lot of needs here for the Houston Texans, but no bigger need than quarterback.
Coming out of the NFL Combine, I think we got a three-horse race to be QB1. I'm going to side with C.J. Stroud with this slot with the Texans to be the QB1, but this thing could go either way. Bryce Young, obviously, he did not work out. He only measured in at the NFL Combine. We'll get to see more of him at Alabama's Pro Day. We got to see plenty of C.J. Stroud. Daniel Jeremiah in the booth said it was one of the best throwing sessions he had ever seen. And then we got to see plenty of Anthony Richardson, who we're going to talk about in a bit, and he obviously impressed quite a bit as well. I am going to side, though, with C.J. Stroud right now for Houston in that second slot.
I love it. I think that's the way I would go if I was the Houston Texans as well. So Stroud had a very good performance, as did all these QBs there. Moving on to the third pick overall, the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. And Fitz, that's you. So Pat Fitzmaurice, the Arizona Cardinals have a new regime in place. How do they start to rebuild this team here with a new head coach?
They start to bulk up the defense with defensive tackle Jalen Carter of Georgia. And defensive tackle isn't necessarily atop the Cardinals' list of needs, but Carter is one of the two best defensive players in the draft, Will Anderson being the other. Anderson would probably fit the Cardinals' needs a little bit better since he's not on the board at this point, Carter is the logical pick and a wrecking ball, just an absolute wrecking ball up front. So, you know, if you can get a talent like this, even if it's not your biggest need, you have to jump on the opportunity. And Carter is facing some legal matters, we know, stemming from that, fatal car crash. But he has been charged with a couple of misdemeanors. So I think the Cardinals can be reasonably confident that this is not going to cause problems with his availability for them if they draft him.
Yeah. And as of us recording here on the 6th of March, this is the information we have. Just in case you end up with this podcast at a later date, we all know the NFL draft can be fluid in these things. So as more information comes out, certainly that will impact some of our takes here on the draft. Now let's go to the number 4 pick overall for the Indianapolis Colts. Derek Brown, that's you. Who is next here for the Colts on this fourth pick of the draft?
So I think that all things being equal, I think CJ Stroud would be their QB1, but he did not make it to Indy. So we're going to go with the man that broke the combine and basically every test and metric for quarterbacks, Anthony Richardson. With Shane Steichen, who oversaw not only Jalen Hurts' ascension, but Justin Herbert, think he's pretty good about developing young quarterbacks. So A-Rich to Indy, let's go.
What was the one thing about Richardson when you watched him at the combine that really popped for you? I know it was a lot of things he did well, mm-hmm. but what was the one that really moved the needle for you?
For me, honestly, I was really impressed or at least happy with his throwing, because you see some of the marries of whether it's the arm and the footwork and keeping all those things in composite, like in tandem together. And at the combine, we saw him stray a little bit in the accuracy concerns, but he also reeled it back in. So for me, it was watching him throw with all the lights and bright lights of Indy facing down on him. For me, it was watching his accuracy.
All right. So the accuracy, a little greater than maybe anticipated from Anthony Richardson, certainly a freak of nature athletically. Now, mm-hmm. Thor, you also are a freak of nature athletically. After spending the week with you in Dallas, I saw many of that. Seattle is up next. Now, this is one of the acquired picks from the Denver Broncos in the Russell Wilson trade. So, Thor, what does Seattle do at five?
Yeah, we've been talking about two of the quarterbacks that broke the combine. Richardson, of course, with the athleticism. Stroud, again, during his throwing session, Stroud going to be testing at his pro day. One of the guys that didn't do anything was Bryce Young, and I don't blame him for ducking either of the things, especially, you know, the athletic testing. I wouldn't have wanted to test up against Richardson either. One team that is not going to be concerned about his size, we know, is Seattle, a team that, you know, back in the day took Russell Wilson, you know, when the size thing was an even bigger concern. That was before Russell Wilson had succeeded and before Kyler Murray had succeeded. Bryce Young goes in. The one thing he did at the combine was measure in. He measured in essentially the exact same dimensions as Kyler Murray. Again, we're going to see more of Bryce Young at his pro day, but in this mock exercise where we're not projecting trades, I think you're sort of split in the middle here of both. With Seattle, it's a team that could take him, number one, and then number two, it's also a team that could potentially, they would be getting a lot of phone calls here of teams that would want to move into this slot. It could happen either or, but there's no way that Bryce Young has fallen out of the top five, so you had to take him here.
Does that mean the end of the Geno Smith era in Seattle?
Well, it's interesting because Bryce Young, he's the one that can play right away, right? And with Seattle, you know, you're Geno Smith going to be there, you would figure, next year. So it's not the cleanest fit from that perspective, but it's the cleanest fit philosophically with Pete Carroll already having sort of shepherded a similar, I mean, my comp for Bryce Young is Russell Wilson. So it's clean in that direction. So it'd be interesting how they would sort of think through this. But, you know, from one perspective, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, from a cap perspective, I imagine it would make more sense to go with the younger quarterback quicker as well. I don't know if you want to overpay for the one great year of Geno Smith. There's a bigger body of work that suggests otherwise, and a lot of teams need quarterback. We'll see what happens there. We'll also see what happens with the Detroit Lions. This is a pick they acquired from the Rams, number six overall, and that means Fitzy, you're on the clock.
Yeah, well, let's get to work patching up this defense, Joe. And we're going to go with Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback from Oregon. So the Lions got one pillar of their defense in place last year with Aiden Hutchinson, chosen first overall. Now they've got another top 10 pick. Let's repair the back end a little bit, because the Lions were set. They gave up the second most passing yards per attempt last year and the third most passing yards overall. They were 28th in defensive DVOA. A lot of work to be done on the defensive side. And Gonzalez was probably going to be a top 10 pick even before the combine. He was there in a lot of early mock drafts. And then he goes out the combine and runs a 4.38 in the 40 and has a vertical jump of 41.5 inches. So this guy, an athletic specimen, long and lean, and the Lions compare him with Jeffrey Okuda. They've got some other cornerbacks who are going to be free agents. So this stabilizes the cornerback group a little bit for them.
Yeah, and any comparison to Okuda, that's pretty good. You know, if you're going to get a guy of that ilk. All right, so first six picks are now in the book. So the Las Vegas Raiders and Derek Brown, their new GM, is on the clock. So, D-Bro, what do the Vegas Raiders do at number seven?
So, I might not be extremely high on this quarterback, and there is a lot of volatility with this pick. The Raiders need a quarterback. We know that, and so I think Las Vegas addresses it. They go with Will Levis, quarterback out of Kentucky. And he's got all the attributes that you want out of a franchise passer. What we need to see him clean up and to be that type of long-term answer is he's got to clean up his footwork, where the inaccuracies that you see in his game, short and intermediate, those have to be cleaned up in his footwork. But does he have the talent? Does he have the arm? Absolutely. So I think at worst, he's not making it past the Raiders at 7.
All right. So a big arm quarterback with some questions goes to the Las Vegas Raiders at 7. That means the Atlanta Falcons are up next at the 8th pick. That means Thor, you are on the clock.
Yeah, Atlanta, they're not going to get their choice of the quarterbacks in this scenario. So they have to look at a different need here. We're going to go with the edge need. And Tyree Wilson, a guy who fell down the board here a little bit. We didn't get to see him test. Obviously, he had the foot fracture that ended his season early at Texas Tech. Because of that, he's going to wait until his pro day to do that. We did get to see the enormous frame and the enormous length of Tyree Wilson. It's unfortunate he didn't get to test, because I think he would have tested freaky. Also, because we had all the great prop lines on him at 4'8". Mm-hmm. They had a mistake line that they put out, so I was disappointed in that. But I think he is going to be able to test at the pro day and prove all that sort of stuff. The length, the frame, and the production that he had per snap at Texas Tech, that stuff all speaks for itself. So as long as he can check that one last box, top 10 seems like a distinct possibility. The prospect and the team match up here. I'm going to go with Tyree Wilson at Texas Tech.
Certainly a need there on the edge for the Atlanta Falcons. So good pick there, Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech to the Falcons. Next up at number 9 is Pat Fitzmaurice with the Carolina Panthers, who might also be in the market for an edge rusher, correct?
They are, Joe. And as with the Falcons, the Panthers are frozen out of at quarterback under this scenario with 4 going in the top 7. So they are going to turn to the edge, and they're going to go with Miles Murphy, the edge rusher out of Clemson. Just a prototypical edge guy as far as length, quickness, power. He's 6'5", 268, and he was a 5-star recruit, and he just turned 21. So bright future for this guy, a lot of upside. Very happy to get him with the top 10 pick, since Carolina couldn't get their quarterback here.
All right, just to close out the top 10 here, the Philadelphia Eagles are up next. Derek Brown, this is a pick that was acquired from your New Orleans Saints not that long ago. So, D-Bro, what do the Eagles do? They were so close to that championship last year. What are some of the missing pieces? Because this is a defense, especially, that has a lot of free agents in the mix.
Yeah, one of those named free agents is James Bradbury. So they're going to have to address the cornerback position here. And I think you're going to see some changes for the Eagles' defensive design. With Jonathan Gannon gone, Sean Desai is their new defensive coordinator. He was last in the NFL as a DC in Chicago in 2021. And what you saw there is they ran. So Philly last year was primarily a zone coverage team, heavy, heavy zone. They're going to sit here and mix in more man. And that leads me to Joey Porter Jr., cornerback out of Penn State. He was the 16th highest graded FBS cornerback in man coverage in 2022. I think it's going to allow them more versatility in their secondary. So give me Joey Porter heading to Philly to shore up that secondary.
All right, those are the first 10 picks. So just a reminder, if you're listening to the podcast, don't forget, go subscribe and go watch over on the YouTube channel, because it's fun. We got all the bells and whistles here, and we're using that PFF software today. So shout out to Pro Football Focus for putting together a great product there. We're using that, as you can see, to put all these picks in. So some fun visuals we've got. And of course, on our YouTube channel, we have incredible stuff going on here. We've got live streams, we've got all the podcasts, short form, long form video. And guess what? We're giving away free stuff too. So don't forget about that. If you are watching on the YouTube channel right now and you drop in a comment in the chat, we're giving away 1 free year to some lucky listener / watcher of our Fantasy Pros premium package. Now, if you don't want to wait for that, you can always go sign up yourself at fantasypros.com/premium. But if you want to throw your hat in the ring, go do it. And maybe you'll be the lucky winner. Again, that Fantasy Pros Premium is incredible. All the tools you can unlock, the best in the industry. And there you go. So work smarter, not harder, and use a little Fantasy Pros help. So let's go on to the 11th pick here. Thor is up next year. Back-to-back picks for you, Thor. A lot of work for you. Let's start with the Tennessee Titans at 11. Who you have?
This is a good scenario for the Titans, a team that their two biggest need, offensive tackle, wide receiver, neither of those positions come off the board yet. Probably too early for the receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba, if he runs a better 40 than expected, maybe the narrative starts to change. Maybe he comes into range here. But offensive tackle, one of his teammates, he is in range here. Paris Johnson. We're going to go with Paris Johnson. I think offensive tackle is a bigger need as well for the Titans with the guys that are going out the door there. Paris Johnson, we didn't get to see the full gamut of workouts for him. We did get to see the broad jump, 87th percentile broad jump. We also got to see him go through the on-field drills and the smooth feet that you see, when he's sort of shuffling the arc and stuff like that. You got to see him on the field in Indy. He's a guy who's gotten a lot of blindside reps, protected C.J. Stroud in Columbus. Only allowed 2 sacks over the last couple years. I think that'd be a really good pick here for Tennessee. We're going to see the rest of his athletic testing at Ohio State's Pro Day. Ohio State's Pro Day is lining up to be must-see TV already. We're going with Paris Johnson for the Tennessee Titans at 11.
Yeah, they certainly could use some offensive line help. And Taylor Lewan no longer there either. Let's go to 12. This pick for the Houston Texans, acquired from the Cleveland Browns. Thor, back to you for number 12 with the Texans.
Yeah, we're going to go with Brian Brise here from Clemson, a kid who came in to college at Clemson as a 5-star ballyhooed recruit. I mean, like, all sorts of FBS program wanted Brian Brise. Dabo ends up getting him or whatever. And Brian Brise, he played right away, but it was sort of on again, off again with him, on the field, and then he'd be off. He was nicked up during his career and everything like that. I wanted to see him come out and prove the concept of his athleticism because the frame is perfect and everything like that. And we had heard, the tall tales of his athleticism. He went out and he did that. He was the 90th percentile in terms of his RAS. He just had a great workout at the combine. He would be a really good value pick here, I feel like, and he would go with sort of the ethos of some of these picks that we've seen from the current Texans administration in recent years. At the 12th pick, it's another one where the need of the team lines up with the prospect, so I think that's a good marriage there.
I'm just happy we got to hear the word ballyhoo on the podcast today. I mean, I'm a simple man. All right, let's go to the next pick on the board here. It's the New York Jets at 13. Fitz, is this going to be a lucky pick for them?
I think so, Joe. I mean, as we sit here right after the combine, the Jets' biggest needs are quarterback and offensive tackle. They're not going to be able to fulfill the quarterback need here, but I think they can address offensive tackle pretty well. They would have loved to get Paris Johnson, but since Thor sniped me a couple picks ago, we're going to go with Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle from Georgia. And I mean, he was the blindside protector for Stetson Bennett on back-to-back national championship teams. And then he went out and lit it up at the combine. I mean, this guy is 6'5". And, so he was the rare instance of the guy who actually measured bigger at the combine than his school listed him at. So that was a pleasant surprise. I guess Georgia was listing Broderick Jones at 6'4", shows up and measures at 6'5", 3/8 of an inch. So,
well, he's still growing. These boys, they're still
apparently
growing.
So. And, he ran a 4.9740 at that size, the fastest of any offensive lineman this year. And, maybe some people would have Peter Skoronski of Northwestern here ranked ahead, but I am a bit of an arm length snob. And Broderick Jones has 34 and three quarters inch arms. So big meat hooks here. I see them sliding in Broderick Jones at left tackle, moving oft-injured giant Mekhi Becton over to right tackle. And, if Becton stays healthy, that's looking like a pretty nice tackle bookend combo.
Arm lengths and fine wine. These are things that Fitzy is a snob about. Let's go to number 14, the New England Patriots. Devro, you are on the clock. You're the GM. The Pats have a lot of needs. So which way are you going with this one?
I love how you bury the lead, and we're not even talking about Fitz's IPA love.
I was trying to bring him up a tier. You know, I mean, you know how I feel about the IPAs. So
between IPAs and blue cheese, he supposedly has adult taste buds, from what I hear, and I don't. But anyway, keeping
like you and your Funyuns. Okay,
hey, ketchup is not bad, and Funyuns are okay. Okay, so I will defend both of those to my death. But anyway, back on the mock here. Number 14, I think Devon Witherspoon is a hand and glove fit for the Patriots. Cornerback out of Illinois. We know that Coach Bill loves his man coverage. Witherspoon last year, second highest PFF grade in man coverage. I think he's going to be a hand and glove fit. And also, it fills a need. Jonathan Jones is a free agent. Jalen Mills, they can cut next year and save money against the cap. So, yeah, Come on down, Devon Witherspoon.
Sounds like a Patriots pick to me. God knows they need wide receiver help, but why would they do that?
Nah, you don't need wide receivers.
The frustrations continue. Speaking of frustrations, the Green Bay Packers are up next for you, Fitz, at 15. What do you got?
Thanks for that, Joe. So they could use pass catching help, but the Packers are also probably going to need a starting free safety since they're cash strapped and they're likely to lose starter Adrian Amos. So they're going to go with Brian Branch, the safety from Alabama. I just love this kid. Rangy, yeah. Versatile defender who can line up in a bunch of different spots and really good in run support and as a blitzer. Also, and, you know, as Thor has pointed out, his one flaw might be that he's not great if you ask him to cover a slot receiver. But, you know, the Packers have a pretty good trio at cornerback, so maybe that's not going to be as much of a concern. I see Branch as just a plug-and-play replacement for Adrian Amos.
Love this pick. Yeah, he's a pro. You could tell when you watch him play. All right, that's back to you now, Thor, with the 16th pick. The Washington Commanders are on the clock.
Yeah, Peter Skoronski was brought up earlier. He's filtered down the board here a little bit. I think us on the panel here, we think that Peter Skoronski is headed inside at the next level. There's some people that disagree with us, but Peter Skoronski measures in at 6'4 flat. Obviously, he has the short arms, the wingspan stuff. He also ducked the agility drill. Well, he did do the three cone. It was by far his worst test, 58th percentile. He didn't do the shuttle, so we'll have to see that. His explosion grades were great with the jumps. Those were both way into the 90th percentile. He's also just a great player. I mean, you know, just watching his tape, he's going to be an all-pro guard at the next level. That's an easy projection there. But I think that's how he could start to filter down the board a little bit. Speaking to Washington, you know, quarterback could be at the top of their need list, but it's looking like one of those top four guys isn't going to get here. Another one that we've talked about in the last month here is tight end. But when you start to think about how stacked this tight end class is, and certainly into day two, you can start to do some three-dimensional chess stuff here. If you're Washington, in the second round, we could get an immediate starter. So spoiler alert on my next pick, but I'm going with Peter Skoronski, and I'm getting a day one starter at guard with Washington right here with Skoronski.
And certainly not to bury the lead, this tight end class, as Thor pointed out, much better than we've seen in years past, too. Less top heavy also. All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock at 17. D-Bro, the pick is yours.
I love Thor just layering the foreshadowing to the second round.
So good. That's a tease. That's what they call it in business, tease.
Staying in the here and now, I think the Steelers, they're going to go with edge here. You have Larry Ogunjobi, who's going to be a free agent. They're going to bring the pressure. They need to find a running mate for T.J. Watt. And that is going to be Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa. He was 26 in pass rush win rate last year, and I think he's going to be a fantastic fit in the Steel Curtain defense.
Yeah, and look, Watts dealt with some injuries the last couple of years too, so they could use some insurance on that edge. All right, let's go to the Detroit Lions at 18. Fitz, you're back again with Detroit.
Yeah, and I'm having a lot of fun fixing this defense. So on top of Christian Gonzalez, who we got at number six, now we're going to go with Nolan Smith, the edge rusher from Georgia. And boy, he put on kind of a show at the combine, running a 4.39 seconds in the 40-yard dash. Heaviest player in the last 10 years to record a sub 4.440 and a vertical jump of more than 40 inches. So this guy's
that
just
was the
athletic
one that knocked me out, Fitz, was the 49 and a half. And we were on that team bus together in Dallas when we were going across to the Dallas Mavericks game. That was the one I kept showing Thor and D-Roll. I was like, look at this. Look at the jump here. Look at the vert. Mm-hmm. That's crazy here.
This guy is springy, and you pair it with the fact that he is pretty relentless. Like, he has a high motor. So high motor plus athleticism. Let him run around with, Aiden Hutchinson on the other side making plays. So, you know, now you've added some super athleticism. Two guys who've jumped over 41 inches with Christian Gonzalez and Nolan Smith. And, this guy can do some serious damage off the edge.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are up next at 19. Derek Brown, the pick is yours.
Well, defensive-minded head coach is going to address that side of the ball. Going with Cam Smith, cornerback out of South Carolina. Had somewhat of a down year in 2022, but 2021, second in PFF coverage grade, had the fifth lowest passer rating allowed, and he feels a need. Jamel Dean is going to be a free agent, so welcome to Tampa Bay, Cam Smith.
There you go. So back-to-back Smiths off the board at 20. Seattle is up next. That means Thor. Boy, those Seattle Seahawks are busy in this first round, aren't they, Thor?
They sure are. And, you know, I thought about a couple other positions, but we're going to go with cornerback. This is going to be a theme of this entire draft process. This cornerback class is absolutely ridiculous. And there's one on the board right now that Seattle is going to fawn over if he ends up getting here. And that's Kelly Ringo of Georgia. He goes to the combine, 96th percentile RAS, measures in almost 6'2", 207, 4'3", 640. The splits were ridiculous as well. Put him across from Woolen, you're set up there at cornerback for a long, long time with exactly what Seattle wants to do on the boundary. I think it would be a really good fit.
And the corner times in the 40 in this combine were absurd. They were just absurd. I mean, unbelievable what we saw. All right, the number 21 pick is forfeited, so the Miami Dolphins will not pick because they were naughty, naughty in the offseason. They're in timeout. The Chargers instead are up next at 22. Fitz, that means you. So what need do the Chargers fill here in round one?
Boy, let's tap into this wide receiver group. It's about time.
Finally.
It's kind of in an unexpected direction, though. Maybe not the guy who was favored to be the first wide receiver off the board. The Chargers are going to go with Zay Flowers, because they need to inject some speed into this offense in the worst way. They've got, you know, the big boundary guy, Mike Williams. They've got the savvy but slow-footed slot man in Keenan Allen. And they don't know, like, how long they're going to be able to keep Keenan Allen either. So Flowers gives you a little bit of inside-outside versatility. He can line up outside. I think his natural position and where he will line up eventually is going to be in the slot. So he will eventually replace Keenan Allen, I think. But man, he gives them the downfield dimension they so desperately need. A true 4-4 guy, a little undersized, but he does have that trait like Jahan Dotson, where he is like really competitive for the ball for a smaller guy. So it's not like, you know, he's never going to get a contested catch. So I am kind of surprised that he's the first wide receiver off the board, but he is the best fit of any of the top wide receivers for the Chargers.
How could you be surprised? You were the person picking. So you surprised yourself? I don't even understand how that works. Boston Indeed. College Zay Flowers on the Chargers here in our fictitious planet that we're living in. Next up at 23, the Baltimore Ravens. Derek Brown, you're up.
I apparently just want to see the world burn on this fictitious planet. because the Ravens? Yeah, I'm going to go with the running back position. It's Bijan Robinson, baby. Let's have some fun here. And everybody out there is saying, oh, they're not going to get running back. Okay, well, let's talk about the reality of it. J.K. Dobbins is an unrestricted free agent in 2024. Todd Monken utilized Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in tandem in 2019 with really good success. I think you're going to see, look, we don't know what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson. But if you want a guy to build an offense around, especially if your quarterback situation is kind of up in the air, Bijan's your guy.
This is stunning. Derek Brown, they're not taking a running back. I'm going to be one of those people who says this. I don't think they're going to do this. But you know what? It is a stunning thing here. And is this the assumption that Lamar Jackson is along with Bijan Robinson on the Ravens?
Yes. We're going to stay with the fact that Lamar Jackson is there. Rashad Bateman is healthy. And all things are hunky-dory in Baltimore.
Wow, that is a fantasy. Rashad Bateman healthy. All right. Let's go on to... Sorry, Jay. It's just true. 24... Minnesota is on the clock, and that means Thor. Yeah, you're on the clock. What pick you want to make here?
You betcha.
was that Minnesota? Was that Sweden? What accent was that?
Oh, no, he's
just
making a pick there. Don't you know?
We're going with Jackson Smith and Jigba. We're not going to get into the pure slot against the outside debate here. D-Bro and I certainly did enough of that.
You're
when
lose it, Thor.
When we were in Dallas. But I'll tell you what, after the agility drills that Jackson Smith and Jigba did in Indianapolis, that don't matter anymore. He's going in the first round after that. We'll have to see how he runs it in different stuff like that. And the team that he goes to determine, you know, what percentage is he going to be on the outside and in the slot. He going in the first round, though, 100%. Those agility drills were absolutely ludicrous. 99th percentile shuttle and 98th percentile three cone. And the tape the year before last speaks for itself. Obviously, last year was a bit of a lost year, whatever. And we'll end up seeing, you know, again, what the 40 time is. But it's almost irrelevant. And especially if he goes to a team like the Vikings, where you have Justin Jefferson on one side, who gets doubled and bracketed every single time. Well, then how are you going to cover Jackson Smith and Jigba? no nickel defender going to be able to stay with that guy, one-on-one, whatever. Jaxon Smith-Njigba would be a perfect fit for the Vikings. We're going with him at 24.
Does that mean the end of Adam Thielen there with the Minnesota Vikings? Because his contract is really ballooned. They either have to restructure it or move on from him. What do you think happens to Thielen then if this is indeed the way they go and take another wide receiver? They got KJ Osborne still in tow too. What happens to Thielen?
I think that's part of Thielen's prerogative. If he wants to put his line, his foot in the sand of like, no, I'm not giving back any of that money, I think that's where they might say, hit the road. But I think either way, this could be the pick, because Thielen's still on the one side. He was already complaining last year that his role wasn't big enough. Certainly he is not going to accept getting it minimized further by kicking into the slot. If the Vikings take Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you put him in the slot right next to Justin Jefferson, he's going to get pounded with targets in year one. And we know what happens when he gets pounded by targets, because in 2021 at Ohio State, you had Garrett Wilson on the one side, Olave on the other side. Jaxon Smith-Njigba dominated. And I think that's what would happen in the slot of Minnesota next to Jefferson.
The next pick is the Jacksonville Jaguars at 25. Pat Fitzmaurice, you're up on the clock.
Let's tap the keg on tight ends, Joe, in this wonderfully deep tight end group, and go with Dalton Kincaid, who I think is the best pass-catching tight end in this year's class. And yes, the Jaguars did put the franchise tag on Evan Engram, but they need a plan for post-Evan Engram. And this way they also have a little bit of insurance in case anything were to happen to Engram in season. And I just love the idea of Lawrence having an excellent move tight end no matter what for 2023 and beyond. And Kincaid certainly gives them that.
That Jags offense is going to be very sought after in fantasy and in dynasty as well. So Dalton Kincaid, tight end of the Utah Utes, goes to Jacksonville at 25. Next up at 26 is Debro in the New York Giants.
Absolutely, Joe. I think that they're going to fill the wide receiver room, considering right now it's looking pretty bare. You've got Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Richie James are all free agents. I think they're going to fill it with Jordan Addison, wide receiver out of USC. I know his testing was not fantastic, but what you see on tape is the guy gets open religiously. And we saw him work on the outside last year as opposed to the slot two previous years. And he's still top 22 in both yards per route run and PFF receiving grade. Jordan Addison is going to lead them in targets this year.
Okay, next pick here after Addison from USC. A USC team, by the way, that was very fast. Dallas is up next. So the Cowboys, the division rivals, Thor, you're making the pick for 27. What do they do?
We're going to go with Quentin Johnston here. Dallas needs receiver help. Quentin Johnston, just because of circumstances, the way that our mock went and filters down a little bit, I still think he's got a shot at wide receiver one. He's going to go to his pro day. We're going to get to see the rest of his tests, how that goes. People want to see his 40. I want to see his 40. Everybody else wants to see his 40. But depending on how some of that stuff shakes out, could end up being wide receiver one. I think either way, he's going to go in the first round, though. And this would be a great fit, because for Quentin Johnston to move to the Dallas Cowboys, all he got to do is drive 15 minutes across town from Fort Worth to Dallas. And I think the Dallas Cowboys would be absolutely thrilled if he ended up falling to 27.
There you go. Hometown boy stays in Texas. Number 28, that's the Buffalo Bills up next. Fitz, where do the Bills go? This is a team that's very close here to the big one. What is it they need to help them get over the hump?
Maybe the interior of their offensive line with Roger Saffold, an impending free agent. So let's replace Saffold with the giant guard from Florida, Osiris Torrance. Love this guy's size, 6'5", 340 pounds plus, just a complete earth mover in the middle of the offensive line. So I think he's a pretty nice addition for the Bills to shore up the interior of their O-line.
My favorite name in the NFL draft too. I mean, you name a kid Osiris, what else could he be? I mean, seriously, an offensive guard. Number 29, the Cincinnati Bengals up next. Thor, where do they go for their needs?
I think if either Michael Mayer or Dalton Kincaid are here, I think Joe Burrow is going to break into that war room and be pounding the table. Get me one of those two guys. Both the guys, awesome ball skills, the contested ball skills. Either one of them would be great fits in that offense. Dalton Kincaid already went, so Michael Mayer is here. This one's an easy pick for me. Some people were a little bit disappointed by his testing, but Michael Mayer has already got an 80th percentile RAS. the 40-yard dash he ran was equivalent to T.J. Hawkinson's. And the ball skills, Notre Dame was down to like zero other like really skill guys that scared the defense, and they were down to their backup quarterback. We're just forcing targets to Michael Mayer all season when the defenses knew that that's what they were going to do. We're getting double teamed the whole season at guys just hanging off his back and kept making plays week in, week out. Again, very good fit here for Cincinnati. He's not going to be getting double teamed at the next level when he's playing with Jamar Chase and all these different guys since he's got. So very good fit. We'll go with Michael Mayer for the Bengals.
Joe Burrow, the rich get richer there. Another offensive weapon for him. 30, the New Orleans Saints with a pick they acquire from the San Francisco 49ers. Derek Brown, you're on the clock.
They're going to address the pass rush here, Joe. They're going to go with Keon White, defensive end out of Georgia Tech. 23rd in pass rush win rate in 2022. He's really good also as a run defender. And I mean, here's the thing. Cam Jordan is not getting any younger. Marcus Davenport is a free agent. They have to get pressure up front, which they struggled to do last year. Keon White's going to help them do that.
All right. Georgia Tech's edge rusher Keon White goes to the Saints. The Philadelphia Eagles are up next. D-Bro, that's also your team. So what do the Eagles do for their next pick here?
I'm staying in the trenches. Apparently, I just love trench play and all the defensive players in this mock. But
well, they have so many. I mean, things to address there defensively with those free agency looming here. So it makes sense. I mean,
the entire cupboard's getting just bare by free agency. The Eagles are losing Fletcher Cox, maybe Javon Hargrave, Ndamukong Suh, Linval Joseph. They have no DTs on the roster they bring some of these guys back. So that leads me to Kalijah Kancey, defensive tackle out of Pittsburgh. This guy is a monster. I mean, he led all DTs and pass rush, PFF pass rushing grade last year. It was seventh in hurries and first in pass rush win rate. I mean, you're talking about a disruptor, and you put him next to the mountain man, Jordan Davis. Let's go.
All right, Fitz, close us out strong here with the last pick, number 32 in the first round. The Kansas City Chiefs select.
They're going to select offensive tackle Anton Harrison. And Harrison, by the way, is from Oklahoma. And the Chiefs really addressed their defense in last year's draft in the early rounds with Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis, Leo Chenal. Now they're going to go to the offense a little bit. And both of their offensive tackles are impending free agents here with Orlando Brown Jr. on the left side and Andrew Wiley on the right side. So Harrison is uber athletic. I think I could see him playing either side, although I think he's pretty ideally suited athletically to the left side. And fortify that line because they might need it.
All right. Before we move on to the second round here, we're going to recap the first and just remind everybody, if you're watching on YouTube, click that little bell till it goes ding for the notifications and subscribe to Fantasy Pros YouTube channel. We got incredible content going on here. We want you to be a part of it and drop a comment below so you might be able to win a free upgrade to premium with the number one pick. The Chicago Bears select Will Anderson, edge rusher from Alabama. CJ Stroud, the quarterback from Ohio State to Houston at 2. At 3, Arizona selects Jalen Carter, defensive tackle from Georgia. Anthony Richardson, QB from Florida to the Indianapolis Colts at 4. At 5, the Seattle Seahawks select Bryce Young, quarterback from Alabama. Then Christian Gonzalez, corner from Oregon, goes to the Detroit Lions. Las Vegas Raiders select Will Levis, quarterback from Kentucky. Then Texas Tech's Tyree Wilson, the edge rusher, goes to the Atlanta Falcons at 8. At 9, the Carolina Panthers select another edge rusher, Miles Murphy from Clemson. Joey Porter Jr., the cornerback from Penn State, goes to the Eagles at 10. At 11, the Tennessee Titans do select Paris Johnson, offensive tackle from Ohio State. Brian Bressy, defensive lineman from Clemson, goes to the Houston Texans. The Jets at 13 select Broderick Jones, offensive tackle from Georgia. New England Patriots at 14 select Devin Witherspoon, corner from Illinois. Then safety Brian Branch from Alabama goes to the Green Bay Packers at 15. At 16, the Washington Commanders select Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle from Northwestern, who fell a little bit in this draft. At 17, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Lucas Van Ness, edge rusher from Iowa. Then Nolan Smith, who broke the combine, the edge rusher from Georgia, goes to the Detroit Lions at 18. What a coup that would be for the Lions. At 19, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Cam Smith, corner from South Carolina. Then Kylie Ringo from Georgia goes to Seattle at 20. Miami has no pick at 21. Then at 22, the Chargers select wide receiver Zay Flowers from Boston College. Then Baltimore at 23 selects Bijan Robinson from Texas. Jackson Smith and Jigba, Ohio State wide receiver, goes to the Minnesota Vikings at 24. The Jags at 25 select Dalton Kincaid, tight end from Utah. Then USC wide receiver Jordan Addison goes to the Giants at 26. At 27, the Dallas Cowboys select Quentin Johnson, wide receiver from TCU. Then Osiris Torrance, offensive guard from Florida, to Buffalo at 28. At 29, the Cincinnati Bengals select tight end Michael Mayer from Notre Dame. Keon White, edge rusher from Georgia Tech, to the New Orleans Saints at 30. Philadelphia goes and takes Kalijah Kancey from Pitt, the defensive tackle, to fill that need at 31. And finally, the Kansas City Chiefs at 32, Anton Harrison from Oklahoma. Now, as we move on and we continue to do these, I will do my best to do that all in one breath. Bebro knows that from last year. I try to do an entire round on one breath. I did it 1 year.
I've seen it one time.
I did it.
Wow.
It was pretty good. My voice isn't there today. Too much fun on the Fantasy Pros trip this week. All right, let's go to the second round. We're going to pick up the pace here a little bit. So to kick off number 33 overall in the second round, the Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock. Bebro, what did they select?
Corner Deontay Banks out of Maryland. Cam Sutton is a free agent. This is a corner who's got size, can play zone and press. He tested out of the gym. They're going to pick him up and not let him slide any farther in the second round.
All right, Thor, you're up next for the Houston Texans at 34. What is the pick?
We're going Darnell Washington. If you saw Darnell Washington's combine workout, you know if he gets out of the first round, he ain't going to have to wait around long in the second. D'Amico Ryan's coming over from the 49ers, a team every time they come out of the huddle, it's like shuffling the cards where the players are going to end up. They want versatility and multiplicity in their offense. Darnell Washington is one of the top of the list players in this draft that's going to offer your offense that.
35, Arizona Cardinals, and Fitz, that looks like a value on the board at edge.
Edge rusher Isaiah Foskey from Notre Dame. The Cardinals didn't get their edge guy in the first round. They get him here, and a lot of people have Foskey as a likely first rounder, so pretty good value in the early seconds.
Very nice. At 36, the Indianapolis Colts. Debro, you're on the clock.
Indy is going to go with safety Antonio Johnson out of Texas A&M. He's played a lot of nickel. 48% of his snaps were in the slot last year. You have Rodney McLeod, strong safety, who's a free agent, and Kenny Moore, their nickel corner right now, is an unrestricted free agent in 2024. So Antonio Johnson makes a lot of sense from a lot of different angles.
All right, up next with pick number 37 are the Rams. That means, Thor, you're on the clock.
Yeah, the Rams have a lot of needs, obviously. They don't have a lot of draft equity. This is their first pick of the draft. We're going to go with Cody Mock to address their biggest need, offensive line. They both need tackles and interior guys. Cody Mock could potentially do either. I think the better fit for him is inside, but we'll see how it goes with him. But he goes out to the combine, doesn't duck any of the tests. A lot of these guys that I've been talking about with their RAS scores and stuff like that, they ducked either half the test or they ducked one of the tests. Cody Mock went out there and did every single one of them and comes in with an 87th percentile RAS athletic score. So he proved the concept. He's another one of those guys. He gets out of the first round, he's not going to have to wait too long to go in the second.
Right, from North Dakota State, Cody Mock, offensive tackle, goes to the Rams. Seattle with a pick year 38 from Denver. It's a reoccurring theme here on the show of all the picks that Seattle Seahawks have. Thor, I mean, look, you've been picking all these Seattle picks here, so they just continue to be the big kid at the candy store. What's next for the Seattle Seahawks?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we went quarterback, you know, just to catch people up. We went quarterback first with Bryce Young with them, and then we had gone Ringo with the other one. I think that's all of them so far. So this is their third pick. They have a linebacker need as well. Do the Seahawks, there's no linebacker is gone yet. I think that Jack Campbell, based on his combine, has now moved up to neck and neck with, you know, Trenton Simpson was the other guy who had been tossed out as LB1 coming into the combine, neck and neck. For me, Jack Campbell has surpassed him. And I know I'm not the only one who has that opinion. Jack Campbell was the better player throughout his college career. And now he has proven that he's right there on par as an athlete. His RAS score, Jack Campbell's 9.98, which means that there hasn't been many linebackers that have gone to the combine in terms of their size adjusted athletic score that have tested better than Jack Campbell ever. And he's another guy that went through and did all the tests. He wasn't scared of anything and tested way better than people thought. The production, the tape speaks for itself. We're going Jack Campbell.
Okay, so Campbell off the board. Las Vegas Raiders up at 39. Debro, that's you.
I mean, they got their guy Colton Miller holding down the left side of the line. Let's give him a bookend tackle and the massive mountain man himself, DeJuan Jones, protect that young quarterback investment. Offensive tackle at Ohio State shores up the offensive line.
Okay, Carolina Panthers at 40. Fitz, you're on the clock.
They could use a tight end, with apologies to Tommy Tremble enthusiasts out there. So let's go with Luke Musgrave, tall, fast, athletic, a nice addition to the Carolina pass catching group.
So many tight ends, Fitz. Are we finally going to get a renaissance of that position? Because I know a lot of fantasy managers were complaining last year about tight end being the dregs. Do we think that this class is going to help fix that in a year or two?
Let's hope so, Joe. Every year we think tight end looks deeper than it has in previous years. And every year we're, struggling, those of us who don't draft Travis Kelce in the first round.
So Musgrave, the fourth, if I'm correct, tight end to go so far in two rounds. Next up is the New Orleans Saints, Derek Brown at 41.
Stress the offense, boys. Terrible NFC South. I think they're going to address the offense, give their brand new quarterback, Derek Carr, another weapon. Let's go Josh Downs, wide receiver out of North Carolina. Jarvis Landry is a free agent. Michael Thomas isn't getting any younger or healthier. So Chris Olave needs a running mate, and Downs is going to do it.
Okay, next up at 42, the Tennessee Titans are on the clock, and that's Thor's pick.
Yeah, we addressed the offensive tackle need earlier with the Titans. Another need that they have is off-ball linebacker. I just mentioned that not many of those off-ball linebackers have gone yet. Jack Campbell went earlier. The other guy that I mentioned, Trenton Simpson, he's still on the board here. He would be a really good value here. That's what we're going to pop with the Titans right here. Trenton Simpson goes to the combine, runs a 4.43. He's going to be a top 50 pick or so. So he's a good value right here.
Cleveland Browns finally get to make a pick at 43. Thor, that's you as well.
Yeah, we're going to go with Keanu Benton. I've talked a lot with Fitzy about Keanu Benton. We were talking about him in Dallas and everything like that. But he's a kid who came out of high school. He was playing in the middle of the fulcrum point of that Wisconsin defensive line in the Big Ten right off the get. And he's also a guy that you've seen the versatility on the tape where they can play him up and down the line. The thing I was wondering going into Indianapolis is, how is this kid going to test? He proved the concept of that with the athletic testing, 86th percentile size adjusted athlete, and another kid that was not afraid of the test. He went and did the full gamut of the test. Three cone, 91st percentile. His broad jump was 85th percentile. We're going to go with Keanu Benton, try to fill that interior defensive line hole.
At 44, the Jets are up, and that pick belongs to you, Fitz.
As good as the Jets were on defense last year, their linebacker group was not great. And strong side linebacker Quincy Williams is going to be a free agent. So we're going to go with Drew Sanders here, a very athletic linebacker from Arkansas. He can replace Williams if they don't re-sign him. And eventually, maybe he takes over at middle linebacker for CJ Mosley.
Okay. At 45, Thor, you are back again with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I know the Falcons, they like the big hammer backs, whatever. They already got those guys. I think there's a guy out here on the board right now that's, the local, the SEC guys that they typically like anyway, that would be a great compliment for the Tyler Allgeier types. That's Jahmyr Gibbs. He's fallen down a little bit. I think when we were looking over the things, fallen beneath the 200 pounds a little bit, that might push him down a little bit more down the board than maybe we were thinking before. Some people had talked about maybe late first round, if not maybe the top of the second. Maybe some of these, the measurables push him down a little bit. One thing that kid doesn't lack for, though, is speed. He had run in the low 4.3s at Georgia Tech. He goes to the combine, runs a 4.36, confirmed. And obviously the skill set is just super diverse in terms of what he could offer. Again, a very good compliment for the backs that Atlanta already has. We're going to go with Jahmyr Gibbs.
Okay, so Jahmyr Gibbs, big fantasy asset off the board at 45 to the Falcons in this draft. Next up at 46, the Green Bay Packers. Fitz, that means you.
B.J. Ojulari, the edge rusher from LSU, the younger brother of Aziz Ojulari of the Giants. And, I think throughout the fall, when we saw early mock drafts for 2023, Ojulari was typically a first rounder. So pretty good value. It seems like getting him mid second. And, the Packers need another edge rusher. Preston Smith is getting older, and Rashawn Gary is coming off a torn ACL.
Okay. Next up is the 47th pick, and that's the New England Patriots. Derek Brown, you already took on the defensive side. Do they go offense now?
They do, but they do not go wide receivers. Sorry, Joe. It's not going to happen. They're going to go offensive tackle.
It's never going to happen.
Never. No.
It's fine.
Offensive tackle. Matthew Bergeron, come on down from Syracuse. Isaiah Wynn is a free agent. We have a guy who excels in pass blocking, and Mac Jones needs some help up there. So, yeah, Bergeron's going to fill a need for the Patriots.
All jokes aside, they do need offensive line help. So I love this pick. It's a good pick there. That's a definite need for them. 48, the Washington Commanders, and Thor, have returned to the board.
Time to put that bow on the foreshadowing we were doing earlier with Washington. we didn't take the tight end earlier, but like I said, you know, the tight end class, it's very Love deep it. Here. We're going to go with Sam Laporta, a guy that, you know, beforehand, he had not been talked about, a round two guy. D-Bro and I have been talking a lot about this guy. We spent Dallas doing it. D-Bro had watched Sam Laporta earlier, called me on the phone a week or two ago. It was like, why don't people talk about Sam Laporta? Me as an Iowa grad, I responded because they just haven't seen him yet. And he's going to open eyes at the combine. Then people are going to go back to the tape and then they're going to start talking about him. Mm-hmm. Sam Laporta, he tests as a 9.26 RAS athlete, so 92nd percentile athlete down there at the combine. One of the things that dropped him down, the only thing that dropped him down, he measured a bit over 6'3", and then 245. But all the athletic testing just knocked it out of the park. 4.59 in the 40, and then all of his jumps and the agility scores were all up there, 80+% and some of them 90+%. He is also awesome with the ball in his hands. Iowa offense, they didn't have anything outside of Sam Laporta these past couple of years. It was literally just him. And I mean literally, as someone that was watching the game, I think Sam Laporta is going to continue to rise as we go through this process and would be a really good fit for this Washington offense that needs guys like that, that when you put the ball in his hands, he can start weaving through traffic with the ball in his hands. For a 245-pound guy, you don't see guys that have the vision in the open field to make moves like Sam Laporta does. I think Sam Howell would have a really good Sam and Sam connection with Laporta. So we're going to go with Sam Laporta here.
49, the Detroit Lions are up. Fitz, you continue to remake this defense. Are you going there again?
Yes, I am, Joe. I love the idea of pouring three top 50 picks into a defense badly in need of repair. So let's fix the inside of the defensive line with Mazi Smith of Michigan, and let's keep it local in the process. You know, he can just plug the middle of that Detroit defensive line, and suddenly you're starting to cook with gas here with Hutchinson, Mazi Smith, Nolan Smith coming off the edge. Yeah, man, let's fix this D.
Back to 50, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Derek Brown, you're on the clock.
Staying in the trenches, man. They need to upgrade their offensive line. Darnell White, offensive tackle out of Tennessee, will have the ability to do that because Dan Moore and Okafor on their offensive line were bad last year. So let's get Kenny Pickett a little more time to throw the ball.
Sticking with D-Bro for 51, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select
the guy who broke the combine at Atamoa Adebawore. He is going to crush it. Like, if you watch his film, very raw, but everybody saw what he did at the combine. He tested out of the gym, RAS score of 9.85. William Gostin is also a free agent, so they need pass rush help. Let's go with the mutant out of Northwestern.
The Miami Dolphins finally make a pick here at 52. Fitz, you're on the clock.
John Michael Schmitz, the center from Minnesota. Thor's really familiar with this guy and gave this a ringing endorsement, I think. So, they could use some help in the interior of the offensive line. They can swing Connor Williams over to one of the guard spots and plug in the best pure center in this year's draft.
All right. With their 75th pick in two rounds, the Seattle Seahawks are back again at 53. Thor, what do you have this time?
Yeah. So again, to recap everyone, because Seattle has so many picks, we've taken the quarterback in Bryce Young, we've taken the cornerback in Ringo, and we've taken the linebacker in Jack Campbell. So that's where we sit right now. What haven't we hit that everyone knows that they need? An edge rusher. So that's what we needed right here. We're going to go with Will McDonald of Iowa State. A lot of edge rushers have come off the board in front of us. Will McDonald didn't go through the full gamut of tests in Indianapolis, but what he did show was the athletic explosion. He did go through the jumping. He was 89th percentile in terms of the vertical, and the broad jump was 99th percentile. He's a little bit undersized, but coming off the edge, he is really difficult for people to handle. At the Big 12 over the years, they could not block Will McDonald. It was just devastating. Very, very disruptive. I think he's a good fit here for Seattle, and then you add him to the three other guys that they already have. This would be a really good crop for Seattle to come out of the second round with those four guys.
All right, D-Bro, you're up at 54. This is a pick for the Bears from the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. Who are you taking?
So Riley Reiff is a free agent. They need to address the tackle position. I'm going to give him Jalen Duncan, offensive tackle out of Maryland. Look, he is raw. I'm not going to say that he's not. He has some things with his technique he has to clean up, but a 9.44 RAS score, and he excelled with 75 or higher PFF pass blocking grades over the previous two seasons. Yeah, he's going to help out the Bears offensive line.
We're in the home stretch now. The Chargers at 55 with Fitz back-to-back here.
Tuli Tuipulotu, defensive end for the Chargers. So the Chargers could use an edge, and they could use some interior defensive line help. I think Tuipulotu sort of can help in both regards, maybe. Just like a bigger guy, kind of a pass rusher. He can, you know, add a little more teeth to the Chargers pass rush and, you know, hopefully help the run defense too, because the Chargers have been soft against the run for the last few years.
All right, Fitz, let's stick with you for the Detroit Lions, pick number 56, acquired from the Minnesota Vikings. Now, look, the offensive coordinator screaming here at Dan Campbell, please give me something.
Yeah, so let's go with Steve Avila, an interior offensive lineman from TCU. So just the Detroit offensive line is in pretty good shape, but they could use a little bit of depth in the interior. And Avila is one of the better interior linemen in this draft class.
That brings us the Jags at 57. Jacksonville's on the clock, Fitz. That's you as well.
It is. As Thor talked about, this is a really deep group of cornerbacks. And getting Clark Phillips here out of Utah is seems like a steal late in the second round. So the Jags need help there. Clark Phillips.
The New York Giants need some help too at number 58. D-Bro, where do they select?
We are going to assume that the greenbacks look a lot better, not in New York, and Saquon moves on, and we're going to give him the rhino covered in butter, like I've been talking about, himself, Zach Charbonnet, running back out of UCLA. He is going to be the workhorse for Brian Daboll's offense.
Okay, so Charbonnet goes to the Giants at 59. That puts up the Cowboys, and Thor, you're on the clock.
Yeah, the Cowboys need a cornerback after we've already felt their receiver need earlier with Quentin Johnson. This time around, we're going to go with DJ Turner, the cornerback from Michigan. DJ Turner ran the fastest 40 this year at the combine with a 4.26. Again, they badly need the cornerback. We know that that's going to be one of their first two picks. If the scenario goes this way, I think, you know, where they take the receiver in the first round, I think that in the second round, this is where they're going to be looking. DJ Turner would make a lot of sense.
Another corner goes at 59. At 60, the Buffalo Bills. Fitz, you're on the clock.
Yeah, we're going to go with Sidney Brown, a safety from Illinois, because Buffalo may have to replace Jordan Poyer, who's going to hit free agency and demand enormous money. So Sidney Brown, the brother of Chase Brown from Illinois, and part of what was a fantastic secondary for the Fighting Illini in 2022.
Cincinnati Bengals are up next, and that is Thor. You are up into the next pick.
We're going to go with Julius Brents of Kansas State, another cornerback. This will be a theme of the entire draft process. As I warned you guys earlier, Julius Brents, a guy that stood out to us immediately at the Senior Bowl, as D-Bro will know, he was getting buzz on that very first Tuesday, the first practice day. Pterodactyl length, I think it's 82-inch wingspan. He just had to come to the combine and prove the athleticism to enough of a degree. And the top speed was the biggest one. He just couldn't fall on his face there. And he didn't. He ran a 4.53, and the rest of his tests were awesome. And then obviously he proved the height and the weight and the length, which we already knew of. But the vertical jumps, the broad jump were awesome. Those were both 90th percentile or above. And then his agility scores, they were both 90th percentile or above as well. So he has proven the concept. Julius Brents, I think, will be going in the second round.
Pterodactyl lengths, greased rhinos. It's like the National Geographic challenge. It's really been fun. Next up here at 62, the Carolina Panthers. That means you, Fitzy. This is a pick they acquired from the 49ers. So what do they do with it?
Let's give them another big physical corner to play with J.C. Horn. Let's give them Tyreek Stevenson of Miami.
There you go. So another cornerback. The theme continues, as Thor so astutely put it. Let's close things out here. Two more picks. The Philadelphia Eagles. Derrick Brown at 63.
Well, we're going to stay in the secondary, keep the secondary run alive. Jordan Battle, safety out of Alabama. C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Marcus Epps are both free agents. You got Battle, who is a strong tackler, and he can cover the slot. 57.6 or lower passer rating and coverage in two of his last four seasons at Alabama. Fills a need, and he is a baller.
You know, it's the Eagles really hit the jackpot here. I mean, they've got so many picks here in the scenario they're in. It's tough because, you know, you don't want to lose experienced, talented players, but where you're getting talented young players at a cheaper price, that's a pretty good formula. All right, let's close things out here. Fitz, once again, the Kansas City Chiefs at 64, they select.
They select Devon Achain, running back from Texas A&M. And I've heard that Andy Reid likes speed on offense. So you've got Achain, a guy who has 4.3 speed. And yeah, you've got Isaiah Pacheco to handle the early down work. And I think Achain can be a one-for-one replacement for Jerick McKinnon, who is now 30 years old and has also been, you know, pretty injury prone over his career. So bring in Achain, bring in the new blood, and man, this guy's really exciting. Like if they can get him going in the Kansas City offense, like he is an exciting weapon for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid to utilize.
So the second round is in the books. The Steelers with the 33rd pick select Deontay Banks, corner from Maryland, and the Houston Texans at 34 take Darnell Washington, tight end from Georgia. Notre Dame's Isaiah Foskey falls, the edge rusher, to 35 in the Arizona Cardinals. The Indianapolis Colts at 36 select Antonio Johnson, safety from Texas A&M. North Dakota State's Cody Mauch, the offensive tackle, goes to the Rams at 37. Seattle on their spending spree takes Jack Campbell, inside linebacker from Iowa, followed by DeJuan Jones, offensive tackle from Ohio State, going to the Las Vegas Raiders at 39. At 40, the Carolina Panthers select Luke Musgrave, tight end to Oregon State. Josh Downs, a wide receiver from North Carolina, lands in New Orleans at 41. At 42, the Tennessee Titans, Trenton Simpson, the linebacker from Clemson, will get selected. Then we have at the 43 spot, the Cleveland Browns, Keanu Benton, defensive tackle from Wisconsin. After Benton goes, you have Drew Sanders, outside linebacker, Arkansas, to the New York Jets at 44. At 45, the Atlanta Falcons select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back from Alabama, B.J. Ojulari, edge rusher from LSU, to the Green Bay Packers at 46. At 47, the New England Patriots select Matthew Bergeron, offensive tackle from Syracuse, Iowa's tight end Sam Laporta, to the Washington Commanders at 48. At 49, the Detroit Lions select Mazi Smith, defensive tackle from Michigan, Wright, offensive tackle from Tennessee, the Pittsburgh Steelers at 50, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 51, take Adebawore, edge rusher from Northwestern, Minnesota's center John Michael Schmitz goes to the Miami Dolphins at 52. At 53, Will McDonald, the edge rusher from Iowa State of Seattle, continues to pour it on with picks. The Chicago Bears at 54 take Jalen Duncan, offensive tackle from Maryland. USC's defensive lineman, Tui Peloto, at 55. I hope I said that right, for the Chargers. Then with 56, we have the Detroit Lions selecting Steve Avila, center from TCU. Utah's cornerback, Clark Phillips. The Jacksonville Jaguars at 57. At 58, the New York Giants select Zach Charbonnet, at the running back from UCLA. Michigan's corner, DJ Turner, goes to the Dallas Cowboys at 59. At 60, the Buffalo Bills strengthen up their defense with safety Sidney Brown from Illinois. The cornerback Julius Brents from Kansas State goes to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Carolina Panthers take a corner as well, Stevenson from Miami. Then Alabama's Jordan Battle, the safety, goes to Philadelphia, followed at last but not least, the Kansas City Chiefs fits Devon Achain, the running back from Texas A&M. So there you have it. There's our first crack at the first two rounds of the NFL draft. Where do we go right? Where do we go wrong? Who do you want to see in what spot? Drop it in the comments below. And who won the draft? It feels like the Seattle Seahawks, maybe, with all these picks, perhaps quarterback of the future and a whole lot more. But what do you think? I want to know. So go drop the comments in the chat on YouTube. I want to thank all the guys here for great insight as well. Thor Nystrom, Pat Fitzmorris, Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros. And also shout out to PFF for using their software today for the draft. Go check them out as well. And don't forget, sign up today, YouTube, subscribe to Fantasy Pros, click that little bell till it goes dings. You know, every time a piece of content drops here on the channel, that'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on for the boys. I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.